Alright, so last week, we were discussing the idea of the four Havdalahs, and we discussed a little bit about the idea of the significance of or in Havdalah, and we mentioned also the idea that the Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar brings from the Medrash, that the first experience of darkness was on Motzi Shabbos, and that it was on Motzi Shabbos when Adam HaRishon lit his own light, that the light of the Or HaGanuz lasted throughout Shabbos, and then at the end of Shabbos, the light of the Or HaGanuz was put away, and then it got dark, and that's when Hashem showed Adam HaRishon, or Hashem sent the Malach to show Adam HaRishon how to make his own light, and Adam HaRishon made his own Ner, his own Eish, and that's the Eish that we commemorate on Motzi Shabbos, is that Or which Adam HaRishon lit in order to illuminate this first experience of darkness. So I wanted to just talk a little bit, go maybe a step further with this idea of the Ner of Havdalah, and just talk about a little bit about the idea of a Ner and Or, and really the significance that it has in Havdalah, why it's an essential part of Havdalah to light a Ner. So there's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, 25b. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Eicha. The pasuk says, "Vatiznach mi shalom nafshi," which means something along the lines of "my soul." Shabbos Chaf Hei Amud Beis. My soul despised or was despised from rest or from peace. Right? Vatiznach mi shalom nafshi. So that the pasuk in Eicha. And talking about the Churban, and the Gemara in Shabbos says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Zu Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. This is referring to the lighting of Shabbos candles, which they were unable to do. Since they were unable to light Shabbos candles, therefore they were rejected from having peace. So that's the Gemara. So the Maharal in the Chidush Agados on that Gemara says, that what's the idea here? What does Vatiznach Mishalom Nafshi have to do with Shabbos candles? So the Maharal says that that light is what allows you to be Mavdil, what allows you to differentiate between one thing and another is light. Tiznach Mishalom Nafshi, that because they didn't have the Hadlakas Neros, they didn't have Shabbos candles, and therefore they were rejected from having Shalom, from having peace, because
why didn't they have Shabbos candles again?
It is during the Churban, during the destruction, they were unable to light Shabbos candles. So it says that since they didn't have since they didn't have light, and Shalom only exists when everything is in its proper place, when everything is set and establish the way that it's supposed to be, each thing in its place, that's the basic underlying prerequisite for having Shalom. And in Choshech, in darkness, there is no way to distinguish between things. You can't tell one thing from each. You can't see what each thing is for what it is, and therefore you can't put each thing in its proper place, and therefore there's no room, there's no makom for Shalom. So I just want to, that's the Maharal, and I just want to kind of flesh out exactly this idea. And before we, just to kind of fill things out. So the word for morning is called Boker. And Boker is from the word Bikores, right? Bikores means to investigate, to look into something. It's called a Bikores. Boker comes from Bikores. When morning comes, you're able to see, to investigate, to look more closely at things. And the word evening is Erev, right? The evening is called Erev. And Erev is from the word Ta'aruves, which means a mixture, an unclarity, a lack of clarity where everything is mixed together. That's called a taruvas, and that at the evening is the time when it gets dark and everything gets mixed together, and that's why we have the idea that emunah is associated with night. Emunascha balelos, you can't see things clearly because it's night, and therefore you have that's the time when emunah, when faith or belief has to have its its prominent role is a time when there's choshech, when it's dark, when there's a taruvus, when everything is mixed together and you can't see things clearly. That's when you have to remember how everything looked during the point when it was clear, and that's the time of Amunah. And it's kind of just a finer point here. Why is it that getting dark is called Erev? Right? The Erev, Taruvus, means a mixture. So, you know, a mixture of light and dark. It's commonly understood that it's called Erev because light and dark are getting mixed together. But if that was the reason, so morning should also be called Erev because light and dark are also mixing together just kind of in the other direction. It's getting light is now mixing in with the dark in the morning. So morning is also a midpoint mixture of light and dark. So why is it that Erev, that evening is called Erev? So I think this is kind of the point here, that because it's not just the mixing of light and dark. Evening is not just the mixture of light and dark, but it's intrinsically a time of mixing. It's a time when everything is becoming blurred together, when things are not distinct. It's not that the light and the dark are mixed together. It's that everything is becoming mixed together. When things get mixed up and it's impossible to distinguish, that's what Erev is. Erev is the time when everything becomes jumbled, things become indistinguishable, lines become blurred, as opposed to morning is really a time when everything is becoming more discernible. The time of Boker, of Bikores, the time when specifically it's more clarity and more easy to see things for what they are. Shabbos, there is shalom because we refrain from malacha. Because Shabbos is mavdil bein kodesh l'chol, because Shabbos is the point at which we distinguish between what is holy and what is mundane. We draw the line and we see where each thing lies in its place. That's the idea of shalom associated with Shabbos. Is the reason that Shabbos gives a certain sense of shalom because it enables us to see things in the proper light, to see things for what they are. And that's the aura of Shabbos, that we have Hadlakas Neros, to show that to see how we can recognize each thing for where it belongs and where it fits in. That's really the kind of the crucial point of what makes Shabbos Shabbos, is this ability to identify that this is Kodesh, this is a value, this is holy, and that everything else is does not belong here. And that's the lack of that R, the inability to have that light, was Vatiznach Mishalom Nashi, was the reason why they didn't have shalom, because they didn't have this ability to distinguish between where each thing belonged and what the place of each thing was. And I think this is an additional reason why we have the candle that we use at Havdalah, because Havdalah is only accomplished with R, the ability to distinguish between one thing and the next, to see that this belongs and this doesn't, that this is a point of separation. Separation is only done with a ner. The ability to see where things belong is an essential prerequisite of being able to make a Havdalah. I just want to go one step further with this. Rav Dessler explains in Chelek Aleph of Michta Mele, it's on page, okay, I don't remember, I didn't write down the page, I think it's on like page 162 of Chelek Beis of Michta Mele, something like that. But Rav Dessler has a whole piece going through the Avos and the relationships of the Avos and the Midos of the Avos, and Rav Dessler points out, he says that Avraham Avinu excelled in the Midah of Chesed, and that was kind of his exceptional point, was the Midah of Chesed, that he related to Hashem through the Midah of Chesed, and he showed the world Hashem's Midah of Chesed, and he had a refinement of that Midah of Chesed. The Midah of Chesed, we spoke about this back in the first bracha, that Chesed is not intrinsically pure. You could have Chesed, which is a bad thing. The arayos of inappropriate relationship between a brother and sister is called Chesed, Chesedhi. That Chesed can be something which, in the inappropriate place and the inappropriate context, is not a good thing. And Avraham had this Midah of Chesed, and with Avraham it was balanced, but Avraham had this Midah of Chesed. And his Midah of Chesed was refined through Yishmael. Yishmael was, in a certain sense, the psoles, the waste of material, the negative side of chesed, was what went to what Yishmael had. Yishmael had the mid of chesed taken to the extreme. Yishmael was yado bakol v'yad kol bo, that he, the this idea of not having boundaries between himself and others was an extreme sort of perversion of the mid of chesed. Chesed is when is also a breaking down of boundaries. When I'm able to give to someone else, it's passing my own boundaries for the other person. But the Yishmael had this perversion of the mid of chesed. You also find by Yishmael a lot of the association with Arayos. The same reason that there was that it is a certain aspect of chesed, of giving, of being spreading out to others, but it's in a perverted kind of way. It's a hollow davarhu, that the religion, which is the legacy of Yishmael, that, you know, the absolute, you know, heaven for them is 70 virgins, right? That's 72, right? So that's and that was Avraham's mid of chesed, was refined through Yishmael, kind of the extreme psoles of it was passed into Yishmael, and then Yitzchak was left with the mid of chesed refined. Yitzchak had he excelled in the midah of gvura, his midah of self-discipline and self-restraint and control and din and judgment and, you know, setting limitations. And Yitzchak also the same thing, the midah of gvura in the wrong place is also, it's violence, it's cruelty, it can be to step on others, to put limitations in such a way as they are destructive. That's also gvura, but it's gvura taken to the extreme. And Yitzchak had a son, Esav, and Esav was the psoles of that midah of gvura, that attribute of strength, which at misapplied, Esav was, his midah was, he was a rotzeach, that he's al-char b'chatichya, he lives by the sword, and the descendants of Esav said that they couldn't receive the Torah because it says don't kill, right? That was their legacy, is the legacy of, you know, the Crusades. It's the aspect of Yitzchak's gvura taken to its perverse extreme, was channeled, was the waste material, so to speak, of that midah of gvura, misused and taken to the extreme, was given to Esav, and that left that Yaakov received that midah in its refined sort of way. That's what Rav Dessler says. Why is it that Avraham and Yitzchak had their midah of chesed and gvura? They had this refinement done through Yishmael and through Esav, but Sarah and Rivka, that they don't seem to have a refinement of their midos, their Ezer Kenegdo, their counterbalance to Avraham and Yitzchak, does not seem to have that it had any sort of refinement. So exactly what's going on with that? So there's a medrash, a famous medrash that says when Rivka married Yitzchak, it says Vayivieha Yitzchak Ha'ohela Sarah Imo, that Yitzchak brought her into the tent of Sarah his mother. And the Medrash Rabbah says Vaharehi Sarah Imo, that he brought her in the tent, and behold, she became Sarah. And says the Medrash, what does that mean? That there was several things that Sarah had that had ceased when Sarah passed away, and that they started again when Rivka came in. And one of them is Ner Daluk Me'erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos, that there was a candle that burned from one Erev Shabbos to the next. They had a candle lit from Friday to Friday. So the idea, I think, is the midah of the imahos and the midah of what it means, the female midah, the feminine midah, is to be magdir, to define something, to give something its tsura, its form, to take something which is in a pure, in a raw potential kind of way, and to give it definition, to give it shape, to give it a reality. I was giving a class I subbed for someone in the girls' high school, and I was talking about something not so related, but I was talking about the idea of bracha and klala, and the idea of, and I was talking about the word kov, which means it's a one of the words which means a curse. And that, like Bilam says, Ma'a kova sherlo kava kel, what could I curse that Hashem did not curse? And I was trying to show, you know, what the idea of a curse as opposed to a blessing was. So I said that same word kov is the same word that Lavan says to Yaakov. When Yaakov says, you know, I've been working all these years, I have nothing to show for it. When am I gonna, you know, make my own household? And Lavan says, okay, so work for me for another 6 years. And he says, Nakva scharcha ve'etina. He says, set your price and I'll pay it. He says, determine your wages, pick a number and I'll pay it to you. And Yaakov says, I don't want my wages to be set. I want them to be something that Hashem can decide how much of it. They should be flexible, they should be open, that whatever bracha that Hashem wants to give me. But the idea of that same word kov, which is the shoresh of the word nakva, means to set, for something to be static and set in place. And I had written it on the board, kuf beis, and then added the nun and the hay at the end for the word nakva. And one of the girls raised her hand and said, isn't that the same as the word nekeva? And I said, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And she said, so what does that mean? So I said, I wasn't going to talk about it, but you brought it up, so let's discuss it. So what I said was basically that if you imagine the same midah of male and female, you find a good mashal for it for children and adults. And who are the children?
In between zachar and nekeva.
Yeah. Men are just, you know, we're grown up kids, right? They have bigger, more expensive toys, but at the end of the day, right? So you watch a child, and a child, he has trouble. The fact that he could have anything is like almost debilitating to him. You have a child who my son, I don't even remember what the context was. Aryeh Leib, my 7-year-old at the time, it was a few years ago already, was describing how much of something was, how something was so big. And so he goes, it was so. Eventually he's going to say big. But as soon as he says big, he can't add any more so's onto it. So we went on for about 2.5 minutes saying the word so, because, like, you know, the more I say it, the more I can add. As soon as he finishes, you know, that's it. As long as he's going, as long as he hasn't, you know, said, if you tell someone, you could name your price as much as you want, and I'll give it to you. So the person takes out, you know, their check, and they start to put a one, and they start adding zeros, right? And as long as they keep adding zeros, they could have more and more and more and more. But until they finish adding zeros, they have nothing. Because as long as all you have is the potential of what I could have, you have potentially everything, but you have actually nothing. The midah of zachar is the midah of potential, is the energy, the almost infinite potential that could be. And the midah of nekeva is to identify, to take that and turn it into one thing. You've limited it because it's now nothing else, but you've given it real existence because now it actually is something. By setting that definition, determining you are this and you're not that, that is the midah of nekeva. That's what happens in childbirth, that there are thousands and thousands and billions of seed that come in. And it could be, but it's nothing until the reproductive process chooses one and says, this is the one that's going to become a vlad. This is the one that's going to become a zygote or whatever it is that happens first, right? And that's
Fertilized egg.
Fertilized egg, right? So the process of nekeva is that process of identifying something and turning it into something real. And Rav Moshe Shapiro used to say that that's why the word aim, which means mother, is the same word as the word im, which means if, because the mother is the one who gives the ifs, the conditions based on which something is. Judaism is determined based on the mother, right? The persons, that the conditions upon which you are Jewish if, right? That the ifs, the limitations, the boundaries, and the definitions of something are given by through the mother. And that's the role of what nekeva is. And that's totally a little bit of a...
How does that relate to kov as a curse?
Because the idea of a blessing is for something to be increasing, to be growing. And a curse, then the in a curse, a something being set in static can be, it can be a negative thing, it can be a positive thing. But a curse is the negative aspect of that. A curse is when something is static, it doesn't have the ability to grow and to change. That same point can be something when it's as opposed to the just being an undefined mass of energy, being set and into one thing is an incredible step. When it's as opposed to developing any further, then it becomes a curse. And that can be a curse. The midah of being nekeva, if a mother refuses to let her child go, then that is a curse. And that can be, as I've heard, that can be a challenge for women, that to kind of give a child the space to develop into what they are want to be goes in a certain sense against the nurturing nature of a mother. And that is a challenge. But the gift that they give them is to give them the definitions for what they are. And that's why in Isha they say that a woman is the Akaras Abayit. She's the backbone, she is the foundation of the home, because the home is where the definitions are set. The attitude or the values and everything that you go out into the world with comes from the home. And that's what the Akaras Abayis, the one who sets that tone and sets those definitions, is the mother, or meant to be.
Doesn't it also mean barren woman, Akaras Abayis, or no?
An Akara is a barren woman, but an Iker means a root, the primary point of something. So Akaras Abayis is the root of the home.
And halal, though, is usually translated as he turns the barren woman into a housewife with children. You know, I mean.
Okay. So basically, all the point being that the midah of nekeva is the midah of the imahos, and of the midah of nekeva is to give something a tzura, to give it a form, to take something and shape it. Avraham had his midah of chesed, and his midah of chesed was refined through Yishmael. And the catalyst... Through Yishmael. Avraham's midah of chesed was refined through Yishmael.
Taken out to an extreme by Yishmael.
Meaning that it left Avraham and was input the removal of the psoles was done through Yishmael, was channeled through Yishmael. Who was the catalyst of that refinement, the mechanism that did that refining? Why was Yishmael not part of the Jewish people historically? Because Sarah said, Lo yirash ben amazos im bini im Yitzchak. Sarah said, Avraham, send him out. The catalyst that did that refining, that said this midah, which is that extreme, has to go, was Sarah. She was the one who sent out Yishmael. Yitzchak had his midah of gevura, and Esav was the one through whom that midah of gevura is refined. And why is it that Esav was not the one who was chosen to be the next generation of the legacy of the Jewish people? Why did he not get the blessing of the firstborn? Because Rivka saw that Esav had to be cut out. Rivka told Yaakov, go take the brachos from your father and steal them from your brother. Rivka was the catalyst, was the mechanism. She was the one who engineered that the brachos be given to Yaakov. That refinement was done through Rivka. Yaakov, who did not need this refinement because he was the recipient of the midah of Avram and the midah of Yitzhak, combined, synthesized into that midah of MS that we find in Yaakov, he received the already refined midah from his parents, and that's why Yaakov has no psoles. Yaakov was a mitaso shlema. All of his children are part of Klal Yisrael. But Yaakov, who did not need this refinement, we don't find anywhere that his wives had this nace, this miracle of the candles being lit from one Erev Shabbos to the next Erev Shabbos, right? You said that was Sarah, and when Rivka came, that Rivka had that nace also. We don't find that such a reference that Rachel and Leah had that, because they weren't doing that same refining that that Sarah and Rivka were doing. The arba imahos, the idea of arba, Rav Pinkus writes about this in his Sefer Bereichus B'Cheshbon. You find the idea in the Maharal that the idea of the number four. Four represents three is the point at which something exists as a conceptual sort of a koach. It exists as a potential concept kind of thing. And the three avos represent that idea of something existing in koach. The chesed, gvura, and emes are all nice ideas. They're ideas. They're concepts. They don't exist in any kind of concrete way. The idea of the of when something is four is that taking those three and putting them into something real, putting them into something which has a physical manifested reality to it. That's the idea of what four represents. And the arba imahos, the four imahos, were that bringing out from potential to actual. That was what the imahos represented. And Sarah and Rivka, within their giving form, within their defining the next generation, defining the Jewish people, had the additional role and the additional faculty of havchana, of discerning, of selecting and choosing, this is meant to be and this is not meant to be. And therefore, they had that candle lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, because that's the whole idea that we mentioned. The candle, the ner, the having the light, represents this idea of distinguishing, of being able to separate, of being able to put each thing in its proper place. They had that midah of selecting and choosing. This is meant to be part of the Jewish people, and this is not. And they had that ner dalok, that same or, which is used for havdalah. They were also being mavdil bein kodesh l'chol. They were also being mavdil between that which is meant to be part of the Jewish nation and that which was meant to be left out. And that's that midah of or. That R always represents this idea of being able to recognize, of having shalom, because you're able to create shlemus, you're able to create completion, you're able to create perfection when you can see what is part of the picture and what's not, what belongs and what doesn't belong.
Sarah and Rivka.
Fine. The next words of Atachon Antanu, right, it's ben or lechoshek when ben kosh chol and or lechoshek when Yisrael ben yom hashu lechesh ben masa. Actually, before, I'm sorry, not going on to the next words. The next words are avinu malkenu. But before we get on to that, so there's the these four havdalas. They're all phrased as ben this le that, which is different from the normal formulation that we have of when two things are being contrasted. You find throughout the Torah this way and other places that when two things are being contrasted, the lashon, the language is often bein this uvein that, right? Beini uvein bnei Yisrael, osila olam, right? You find that the idea of showing something between two things, the difference between, right, bein ha'aru, bein ha'choshech, bein ha'kodesh, bein ha'chol, right? You find that in other places, this the language is bein uvein, as opposed to here in Havdalah, it's bein this la that. So Rav Hirsch says that when something is contrasted by bein this uvein that, connotes an element of complete separation, as opposed to when something is contrasted with bein this le that, that connotes that there's still a relationship, that there's still a link between the two, and that the first is meant to influence the second. The first is meant to be mashpia on the second, bein this le that, that there's a difference, but the first one is supposed to go to the second. So we have these four havdalas. We have bein kodesh l'chol, that kodesh is meant to affect the chol. The whole purpose is that it was supposed to be mekadesh the chol, to take that sanctity of kedusha and to take that to turn our more mundane involvements into something which is also a part of kedusha, which is also a something that's been sanctified. Or is the idea, the place of, you put or and if you separate between or and choshech, if you put up a mechitza between the two, so the or does not dispel the choshech. It's only when the or and the choshech, when the or still has, it's still in the same vicinity as the choshech, it's still when it's together with the choshech, that or is able to dispel the choshech. Or and choshech are also meant to be that they're separated between the two, but the or is meant to light up the choshech. The third one is Bein Yisrael la'amim, that Yisrael are meant to be, and or la'amim, meant to be a light to the nations and to lift up the nations. And the last one, Bein Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh, that Shabbos is meant to influence the acts of the week so that they also become uplifted. We have preparing for Shabbos that, the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel has set aside special food for Shabbos and taking, you know, the energy of Shabbos into the week, that that we're able to have, you know, this spiritual refreshment that's meant to allow us to approach the days of Chol with this new refocusing of what is important. And that same relationship, that Shabbos is meant to be something which is there to lead us to elevate the days of the week. Another idea, the Dover Shalom, is one of the commentaries found in the Otzer Tfilos. So he says he doesn't really contrast between Bain the Bain Uvain versus Bain Le, but he does have this idea that he says that the two things are contrasted in this Bain A Le B. The word which is attached with the lamed, the second term, is, he says, is bimkomo omi. That's the one that really stays in its place. That it stays the way it is. The second is really removed from the first, and eventually the first will rejoin the second. Sounds very explain as we go through each example. So, for example, we have a ma'avdil bein kodesh l'chol, that first you have chol, that chol really exists before kodesh, and you know something becomes kodesh after you were mafresh it. You know, a korban started out as just an animal, with the exception of a bechor who is kadosh mirechem, but you know. The normal state of Kedusha is that you took something which was not Kodesh and you made it Kodesh. But Chol is the first stage is Chol. And then the Kedusha is something which is separated from that, right? Kedusha is then comes out of the Chol. And at the end, Chol is meant to become Kodesh. It brings a pasuk. He said that it says in Yeshaya, it says, V'haya sachra v'etnena Kodesh l'Hashem. That the merchandise, the schora of the world or of the Jewish people of Israel, which is, you know, that's something which is, you know, their business dealings, the Hayah Kodesh Lashem, Vetnena Kodesh Lashem, is going to become something which becomes all sanctified and holy. That's the idea that which is right now is chol is eventually going to be turned into Kodesh. We have Bein Or L'Choshech, that first there was Choshech, right? Hashem said Vayihi Or, right? And so first it was Choshech al Pnei Hatom, and then Hashem said Vayihi Or, and then there was light. So first you had darkness. Light then was separated off of darkness. And at the end, darkness is going to really turn back into light. The Pasuk in Zechariah says, V'haya le'is erev ye'ar, that it's going to be that when evening comes, that it's going to turn into light, that the darkness is going to turn into, the night is going to turn into light, and the darkness itself is going to be chozer, is going to come back into the light. We have, first, before Klal Yisrael existed, you know, the Avram Avinu didn't come along until 20 generations into the world. So the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come along in the Jewish and having, you know, a Jewish people defined by the Torah until 26 generations into the world. Before that, the nations of the world pre-existed the Jewish people. You have the Umas Olam, and Avraham was separated out from the Umas Olam and formed the Jewish people. The Jewish people were Goy mikarev goy, we're a nation taken from amidst another nation. That's the first you started with the nations. The Jewish people were separated off from that. And at the end, Pasuk in Sefania says, ki az epoch el amim safa brura likro kulam b'shem Hashem, that in the final revelation, that all the nations will be given a clear safa brura, literally means clear language, for all of them to be able to call out in Hashem's name, that all of the nations are going to come and recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu and realize that they should dedicate themselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And first we have, the world was created, and we started with day one. And it wasn't until we've gone through 6 days of Chol that we get to the Sheshes Yemei HaMasa that we then get to Shabbos. First comes the days of Chol, the days of the mundane days of the weekdays of creativity. And at the end, Shabbos is separated from that. Shabbos comes out of that. And La'asad Lavo, we know that it's going to be Yom Shekulo Shabbos Menucha, like we all like to sing in which of the Shabbos mirrors is it? I mean, we say it in the Harachaman, right? Harachaman Yanchelino Yom Shekulo Shabbos Menucha, which is the Asa Lavo, that eventually in the time of the of Mashiach, in the Asa Lavo, that it's going to be that it's all Shabbos, that the entire world is a period of having reached its destination and having reached a point where everything is Menucha, where everything is the Bechina of Shabbos. So the Dover Shalom says that's the pattern, is that everything is, it started with something which needs to be sort of fixed. The higher level is sort of extracted from that. And then eventually, after the what needs to be done, after the world reaches the point where it's supposed to reach, that tikkun is going to really spread, and the whole picture is going to become part of that perfection. And it's the broader idea, I think we've discussed it before. If we haven't, I'm sure we'll discuss it at some point. That you know, a Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, kol da'avid rechman al tavahu da'avid, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created everything is meant to serve the purpose of leading the world to its final destination, that which seems to be insignificant, or that which seems to be mundane, or that which even seems to be chaos and bad, is really all part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan of how the world is being led, is gradually heading towards its final purpose. And everything is really part of that purpose. In La'asad Lavo, when it comes and when it reaches that point, it will be everything that was part. The Leshem, was Rav Elyashiv's grandfather. Leshem was also Rav Elyashiv, who was one of the major Kabbalists of the 19th century, early 20th century. A very fundamental sefer in Kabbalah called Leshem Shavova Achlama. The Leshem writes that everything, every object, every rock and bug and tree and whatever, which had a role in being Megala and revealing Kvod Shemayim, when it comes to La'asad Lavo, those things are all going to be a part of it. Those things are all going to be present and accounted for in La'asad Lavo, because they're all part of, even though right now they seem like something which is, you know, just kind of there, something which is mundane, but they all, that the La'asad Lavo will see how all of these things had a role in being Megale Kvod Shemayim and bringing the world to its point of destination. And that's the same thing here in all of these Havdalahs that we mentioned, that you started with something which needs to be fixed, which isn't at its final level. And then something was taken out from it, that, so to speak, the truma, the higher point was taken out from that, and eventually that's going to pull everything else up to reach that final destination. All right, I went a little bit over time, so we'll stop here for tonight.